Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ate Yad Om Iti Prochur. Neti cha parantapa kopa nirasa pratyekya itochu krishna ramayo. When the brahmanas fail to reply even with a simple yes or no, O chastiser of the enemy Parikshit, the coward boys return disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to them. Om Jnana Timurandasya Panantana Salakaya Raksurum Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantitam Adadanas Chanam Dante Idam yache puna puna, imadrupa padam boja, yulisham janma janmani, paragya yugbhakti visham priyatmai, apayama maradipsamandham, dupambuhirya paradhupa dhuki, sanatanustam prabhumasrayami, vansha kaupa tarubhyascha, Vipasindhu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Jagadha Vivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's the winter. It's not the winter like it's the winter in the East Coast, but yesterday the rain came in the winter. Usually the rain only comes in the rainy season, but in the winter, the first rain, it just probably rains once, is the sign that the winter will come in. And it's a very quiet time in Vrindavan. Actually, I was just at Govardhan, so Srimaram Swami was there, and he was appreciating the clean and crisp air in the Vrindavan winter. And now also occasionally a few devotees from the West that normally also visit. Itai Baranga from Boston is sitting here in my room for the class. And tomorrow Seva Priya will come. So I want to do something today to start the class. There's something very wonderful about hearing Srila Prabhupada, hearing Srila Prabhupada speak about Vrindavan. So this is just a paragraph from Prabhupada. We did this when Borijan was taking us. We were going on Prikrams. And we went to Uchangaon. I remember that specifically. And there's a Narayan Bhat who helped discover many of the places of Vrindavan. And in his samadhi area, you know, all the devotees sat. And Borijan was reading from Prabhupada, and it was like having Prabhupada with us on Parikram. And that really added a potency and a flavor. So it's very, very short, but Prabhupada says, Anukul Yena means favorably. How will Krishna be satisfied? That is favorable Krishna consciousness. Simply always thinking of Krishna, just like the gopis. Their Krishna consciousness is perfect because they had no other desire except to please Krishna. That is perfection. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended Samya Kachit Upasana Brajapadu Vajanaya Kalpita. There is no better process of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead than the method adopted by the gopis. The gopis had no other desire. Simply their desire was how to satisfy Krishna. All the gopis, the elderly gopis, Yasoda Mata and her friends, elderly gopis, Nanda Maharaj, his brother, his friends, and of the same age, the boys and girls of Vrindavan, who are the same age, everyone, even the cows, even the flowers, even the fruits, even the water in Vrindavan, because everything is spiritual there. Nothing is material. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, his presence is invoked by his divine sound vibration. Now, one other thing I want to do in the class, and then I want to do get to the text. I'm very anxious. The story of the Brahmin's wives blessed is developing so nicely. I got a question. Someone wrote, previously, perhaps last Wednesday, you mentioned bhakti having its own special shakti and that you would elaborate on it soon. Yes. Bhakti is the bliss that arises from the Lord's internal potency, namely his pleasure potency, when it manifests in the hearts of the devotees. So bhakti is directly a manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. So when in one's heart he invokes the intention and enthusiasm to please Krishna, then that consciousness, that vastu, that thing, called vastu shakti, it has its own potency. And this is discussed in terms of when a devotee comes to the platform of spontaneous devotion, when bhakti permeates his heart, then he'll serve Krishna spontaneously from the heart and get the results of that worship, even if in selected circumstances he doesn't exactly follow the injunctions of the Shastra. A beautiful example is of that old lady in Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was by the Garuda Stambha, and he was looking at the deities. And Lord Chaitanya was such a strict sannyasi, he wouldn't even hear the voice of a woman singing. But when this lady, she wanted to see Jagannath, and her spontaneousness, she climbed on the back of Lord Chaitanya. And Govinda, his servant, became so, called her, no, don't do that. This is certainly not Shastra to climb on the back of a devotee. It's not even Bhakti Shastra. The feet are the lowest part of the body. To climb on someone with your feet, it's technically an offense. But because she was doing it with bhakti, she got the result of bhakti, even though it wasn't technically, according to the Shastra, even the Vaishnav Shastra. So bhakti has that potency to please Krishna, has its own shakti or potency, and you'll bear of your activity if you have devotion. Where generally the potency of an activity is the injunction of the Shastra and not the activity itself. And I'll give you an example. When you perform karma, you may perform so many rituals perfectly, but if there's one thing that's not according to the Shastra, then you don't get the benefit or the fruit of the activity, because you haven't followed the Shastra And the potency of the activity is the shastra and not the activity itself. Same thing with jnana marg. You may be so strict in your observance of austerities, but then if you make a mistake, then you're taken from the platform of jnana. You're taken from the platform. You're no longer of that status. But in bhakti, apichet siddharacharo, bhajate mamananyabhak, sadur eva samantavya, that even if one does something against even moral principles, but ananyabhak, it's an unintentional thing, and because he's exclusively dedicated to Krishna in his heart, he still has spiritual potency. So bhakti, when I say bhakti has an independent, own special shakti, it means bhakti is not dependent on karma or jnana or anything else to bear the fruit of the activity itself. Where every other spiritual process is dependent on something else, especially the injunctions of the shastra. And specifically, dharma means, traditionally religion means, that you follow the shastra, and by the adherence to the shastra, you get the fruit of your activity. So this is the special, exclusive nature of bhakti. Okay, now I'll go on to the today's verse. Is Amritananda, the reception is okay? Huh?
That's not us.
Okay, it's okay. Okay. Now we're. Let me see. We can get into this. I'm praying to Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya and Krishna that I can be enthused here to say something of value. Now, the story is that we're up here, the Brahmins failed to reply even with a simple yes or no. So this ends the section of the Brahmins. And we get this view of people with knowledge but without wisdom. People with some theoretical understanding but no sambandhagyan. People who follow religion and follow the rituals and detail of religion without the spirit of religion and therefore don't get the fruits. So this story, this has been developed I guess I should just repeat the story. When we did the Dainakasara story on Sunday, I asked the people if they could try to envision it in their minds. So we know that the Krishna's friends, they told him that they were hungry, and they told Krishna, you are the destroyer of the wicked. So this is the spirit of friendship. There's a spirit of chivalry that mixes in, and actually that chivalry is an expression of the friendship. They challenged Krishna. And this is the nature of friendship love. You're dushta nirbharana, you're chastiser of the wicked. Well, the greatest evil is hunger. So let's see, Krishna, dear Krishna, you kill our hunger. And then Krishna, desiring to please the devotees, because that absolute reality is a person, and the nature of a person is to reciprocate relationships, and the nature of the Supreme Person is to fully reciprocate relationships, and not only fully reciprocate relationships, but fully reciprocate relationships in a perfect way. And therefore, we're learning through the Bhagavatam how this absolute reality, Sri Krishna, is actually the real shelter where he can actually satisfy our desire for love and loving relationships. So Krishna reciprocating with his devotees, and when we see Krishna reciprocate with his devotees, we should feel Krishna's love and desire that reciprocation ourselves. When we hear these pastimes, they should come alive in our hearts. There should be real relevance. We should go into our hearts and say, yes, this is what I am looking for. What I am looking for is perfect relationship, so that my actual most deepest inner need to be fulfilled which is the nature of my soul, to experience love fully is satisfied. So we're watching Krishna reciprocate. Reception is still okay, Amritananda? Arbo?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, good. I want to get some momentum here because I only have a short time left. So Krishna tells them to go to the brahmanas. And we understand that within this lila, where we're just observing experience and praying for this perfect love as it's exhibited in the full manifestation of Krishna's internal potency, which is Vrindavan, there's also a message that is given simultaneously along with this rasa. There's a tattva or philosophy given that is needed, that we need as a component of our understanding and consciousness to understand that love and enter into that love. So we see, he says, you go to the Brahma Vadina, these learned Brahmins, and you announce my name, and then we see the cowherd boys taking that order of Krishna, because one thing in relationship is the desire to serve, and therefore pleasure in carrying the desire of the beloved. So they see Krishna, and they go to these Brahmins, and they announce that we're actually carrying, we're executing the order of Krishna. And Bhadram, this is the most auspicious thing, so please hear from us. Krishna is hungry. And if you have faith, Dvija, O best of the Brahmins, or no, then please, this is allowed, you please give. And then we see the reactions of the Brahmins, that although the actual object of sacrifice and worship appears before them, Shrinvata na Shushrivo, they hear, but they do not hear. Shudram asa, because they're full of petty material desires. And therefore, although they have all the opulence of Krishna, although they have all the opulence of Krishna, I think someone may have come, Amritananda? Okay, you can still hear? Okay. Sometimes, I don't know, I heard some reverberation, it's not so bad, but I'm not yet have fully entered into this pastime, so I get distracted, but I think we will, hopefully, by Krishna's grace. So bear with me, everyone that's there. One time, Dadu in Vrindavan, he was very, very happy about 10 years ago, because the quality or the caliber of senior devotees that used to stay in Vrindavan, Kamal Krishna Maharaj, Satsarup Maharaj, Giriraj Swami, Bhuli Jan, myself, Govinda Maharaj, Bhartasarthi Prabhupada, so many people would stay for such a long time. So every day he would hear such wonderful classes from all these devotees with such nice realization. And then as we know the history, somehow various reasons, either sickness or service or, you know, various reasons. The devotees, a lot of them just for illness, just from giving themselves to the preaching movement, their illness, they can't come. So he's feeling separation, and he's not feeling that the quality of the classes are the same caliber. But he goes every day, and he hears. And sometimes he complains to me, so I ask him, why do you continue going? And Dada's been a devotee of Vaishnava for 45 years. He was initiated into the Advaita Parivar in Calcutta. So I asked him, Dadu, why do you go? You know, he said, well, my guru told me that wherever there is Krishna Katha, I should go to here because you could never tell when Krishna will manifest. Of course, I'm not as qualified as Dadu, but I'm feeling like that today. I'm praying, please, Krishna, manifest through me somehow. But that story came to my mind. So we see the condition of these Brahmins, and I've discussed them in many, many, many times, that they have, and this ends the section, because now that the Brahmins would not give food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his representatives who carried the desire of the Supreme Lord. And that's the highest thing. The highest thing in spiritual life is to realize the desire of the Supreme Lord. That's why it's so fortunate to come in contact with a self-realized soul. Because a self-realized soul is one in heart with Krishna and therefore carries Krishna's desire. And if you have Krishna's desire and you know Krishna's desire and you're qualified to carry Krishna's desire yourself, then you can fulfill Krishna's desire and please Krishna. And if you please Krishna, Krishna will open his heart to you. This is actually the main thing of Sadhu Sangha. The main thing of Sadhu Sangha is the sadhu has the jewels of realization. And if you serve the sadhu and therefore please the sadhu, his heart will naturally open. And when the heart of the sadhu opens, then you have access to the jewels of his realization. So they were handing on a silver platter the perfection of life to these Brahmins. But these Brahmins, who are so-called engaged in religion, in the ritual activities of religion, but due to false ego, had become proud of their knowledge, they couldn't recognize. Actually, there's one thing I read in Bhakti Sandarbha, very powerful point. It described about shakti of spiritual objects, and it's like a fire. If you touch fire, it burns, whether you know it's fire or not. So if you're in the association of a great soul, whether or not you know he's a great soul, you'll get benefit from him because that he has shakti or potency. So, but he said there's one person who could not get benefit, even though he's in the proximity of a great soul. It said, one who has little knowledge but is proud. Because without that shraddha or faith, you do not have the psychological mechanism to consider that truth beyond your prejudice. Anyway, I'm trying to finish this section and go on because we're going to see a contrast now with the Brahmins and the Brahmins' wives. So here, finally, although they had all the aspects of Krishna's opulence, they failed to recognize Krishna. And now, when the Brahmins, this is today's verse, when the Brahmins failed to reply with a simple yes or no, so basically I said that before, they did not say Om. Om is the sound representation of the Absolute Reality. So when you say Om, and the Vedas is also the sound representation of the Absolute Reality, so there's no difference between the Vedas and Om. So when the Brahmins failed to reply, recognize that this is truth, the cowherd boys, they returned disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to him. And he says, this is Sukadeva Goswami explaining this story. He said, when the Brahmins failed to reply with a simple yes or no, O chastiser of the enemies. The name for Parikshit is Paramtapa, O chastiser of enemies, because Sukadeva Goswami, when he's speaking to Maharaj Prickett, he understands that he has so much devotion in his heart that he'll, and he's a Kshatriya, so he realizes that he'll get upset with the Brahmins. Just even hearing that, he's a Mahabhagavat, he's Rasa Parayana, he's full of the highest love. He loves Krishna, so even to hear of someone neglecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead and failing to serve him when that Supreme Personality of God is requesting service, he understands that just naturally his devotional, not only his devotional, his psychological state, his devotional state, he'll become upset. He says, O chastiser of the enemies. Because the Kshatriya, his prime duty is to make sure Brahminical culture is upheld because Brahminical culture creates the facility and environment by which one can practice spiritual life. So he says, oh, chastise are the enemies. And he's explaining, therefore, the cowherd boys disappointed to Krishna and Ram reported this to them. And now here's what Krishna replies. Arupakarnya Bhagavan Rahasya Jagadishvara Jajahara Punagopam Darshayan Lokikim Gitim. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, simply laughed. Then again he addressed the cowherd boys, showing them the way the men act in this world. So Krishna laughed to show that he respected the social system. They're Brahmins, but they're fallen Brahmins. So even if they're ignorant, please don't show anger to them. And also don't show anger to them, because Loki Kim Kitim, this is the ordinary way of the world. If you're begging on my behalf, the way of begging, if you take the begging, then you are refused. Some will give, most will not. But if you're in the position of humble beggar, beggar means that you don't deserve what's getting. Whatever comes is mercy. So if it comes, that's the person's mercy. And if it doesn't come, the person didn't do anything wrong because you didn't earn it. So this is Krishna's telling them, Loki come to him. This is the way of the world. Don't get angry at him, but rather, and then the next verse, and now we'll see the contrast. Gipayata patnibhya sankarshanam agatam tasyanti kaman anamva snigda mayushita ya. Lord Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmins that I have come here with Lord Sankarshan. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate towards me, and indeed, with their intelligence or their mind, they reside in me alone. So he says, now you go and you tell the wives of the Brahmins. Now it's very interesting. He says, tell the wives of the Brahmins, they will give you the food you want, but he doesn't tell them. He doesn't say you go and beg and ask for that food. And the reason why Krishna doesn't tell the wives of the Brahmins to ask for the doesn't tell the cowherd boys to ask the wives of the Brahmins for the food is because he understands that the wives of the Brahmins, they have this priti or love in their heart. And when you have love in your heart for someone, you feel their happiness and pain. And therefore, if the cowherd boys came to the wives of the Brahmins and said that Krishna is hungry, they would feel his hunger. So this is such a nice example of loving exchange. Krishna realized that the wives of the Brahmins would feel his pain, and Krishna himself would feel the pain of the wives of the Brahmins. Krishna is sensitive to their heart. And he realizes that they're sensitive to his heart. So he doesn't tell them. And he also understands that because their intelligence is residing in him, because they have so much affection and devotion for Krishna, that without even asking, if the cowherd boys come and say, Krishna is nearby, then out of motherly affection, automatically the wives of the Brahmins will offer him food. Because snigdha, they have so much affection. And when you have affection for someone, your consciousness is focused on their desires. That's the very nature of love. When you actually develop love for someone, you are completely focused on their needs and wants. And when one is selfish, you're only focused on your own needs and wants. So he's seeing that this is the Brahmins. Their sacrifice is completely self-motivated. It's all in terms of themselves. But real spiritual life means for others. And therefore, their intelligence is residing in Krishna alone. It means that their mind and their plans are based on the real ego. When your mind, if you have false ego, then your mind is thinking of selfish desires, and your intelligence is making plans for selfish desires. But when you get rid of the false ego and you develop the nature of the soul, the real ego, Jiva Sarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das, then there's a different quality to your mind. Your mind is filled with desires to please the object of your love, and your intelligence is making plans. So because their intelligence, Ushita Mayi, Diya, Krishna says, their intelligence is residing in me, so their plans are so focused on Krishna's desires that when Krishna comes, if they know Krishna is nearby, even without being told, they will try to please him. This is actually the nature of first-class intelligence. They'll immediately try to please Krishna. Due to their intelligence, it's just so focused. They're constantly making plans. One time I was in Dallas, and Prabhupada was outside his room. And I somehow was walking by, and I saw there's a little porch, and Prabhupada was walking back and forth on that porch, just to have that vision of Prabhupada. And at that time, the GBC, he was very nice. He said, no, don't bother Prabhupada. And you can see Prabhupada was thinking or making plans to spread Krishna consciousness, that his intelligence completely resided in Krishna. And it completely resided in Krishna. How he can please Krishna. How he can serve Krishna. So this is the contrast. And if you look at the Brahmins, they didn't have what's called sambandhagyan. What is sambandhagyan? Sambandhagyan means that you not only have understanding of things, but you understand the relationship of those things to the absolute truth. And unless you understand the things of this world in context of the absolute truth, then you don't really understand them. And that was why when Prabhupada was talking to the Hayagriva, he was presenting, he was misrepresenting the various philosophers, I understood, because he didn't understand their philosophy so well. But the point is how he can present it to Prabhupada is because Prabhupada knew the Paratattva, and therefore he can understand the reality and utility of everything, because the reality and utility of everything is in relationship to the Paratattva or Absolute Truth. And therefore, if you don't know the Paratattva or Absolute Truth, although you know so-called so many things, you don't really understand those things. Because ultimately what they are is in contact with the absolute reality. And that's what the Vedas is. What is the Vedas? The Vedas means when the Supreme Lord creates the world from his breathing, simultaneously when he creates the world with his breathing, with that breathing manifests the Vedas. And what's the Vedas? The Vedas give you knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge means to tell what something is by describing what its utility and use is. If you have something and you don't know its utility, you don't have the proper knowledge of things. So sambandhagyan means not only understanding various things, but understanding their relationship to other things, especially the Paratattva, but also in relationship to other things in this world. For example, you may have a so-called truth of renunciation. it's actually a truth, and you have some realization. You were in the material world, you were a gross sense gratifier, then you heard from a spiritual teacher, and you renounce the world, and you have some understanding of renunciation, the value of vairagya, the value of giving up attachment. You have some experience. But if you're immature, you don't have some bandhanyan, then you don't have a deep understanding of that subject, because you don't understand the subject of renunciation in relationship to the subject of attachment. Because there's also an understanding of attachment, that there are some things which we keep and we don't renounce, because there are some things that, even though they may be material attachments, at our level of advancement, we require them for mental and psychological stability. So although you've understood the truth of renunciation, you didn't understand the size of that truth in relationship to other truths, and therefore you don't understand renunciation perfectly. So sambandhagyan, or real wisdom, means to understand the interrelationship of truths, which means to understand the size and value of one truth to another truth. Or even in a preaching movement, people will go out and they'll distribute books, and Prabhupada said to distribute books, and they'll come with a wonderful vision how the mercy of Lord Chaitanya flows from this wonderful activity. But then if they think that, you know, worshiping the deity has no importance, or the devotee in the temple has no importance, then they don't have full understanding of the tattva of book distribution, because they don't understand its relationship with other devotional activities. So real knowledge, this is why it's called sambandhagyan, is you have to not only understand truths, but you have to understand truths in relationship to the paratattva, the absolute truth, to understand the context of that truth, and you have to understand that truth in relationship to other truths. And therefore, Prabhupada said that real knowledge means to know matter, spirit, and controller of both. In other words, if you really want to have real knowledge, you have to not only understand that you're spiritual, but you have to understand the relationship of your spirit to the Supreme Spirit. If you think I'm just not the body, that's a realization. And that I'm a spiritual entity, that's a realization. But if you don't understand the relationship of that truth, that I'm spirit, to the relationship of the Supreme Spirit, that you're only a relative part of the Supreme Spirit, then you don't have a complete understanding of the self. And that's the Brahmins. Martyamana, they were on the bodily concept of life. They were falsely identifying themselves with the body. So therefore, they didn't have sambandhagyan, because sambandhagyan means to also understand the relationship between the soul and the body. If you know your body, and you're a complete health, and you have knowledge of the body, you know how it works, you stay healthy, that's important knowledge. But if you think the body is the self, you don't have complete knowledge of the body. It's funny, when Raghunath Swami, his best friend, who he went to India initially with, came to visit him in Chopati, and I was there. And there was thousands of people coming to see him and his best friend. And his best friend, somehow he was a lawyer, and then he became a bodybuilder. And he got there, and he was speaking to the crowd. He said, you know, I when I saw Raghunath Swami, I said, I don't know how we get along. He said, because I'm teaching people that they are the body, and you're teaching them that they're not. But that also, anyway, this sambandhagyan, this understanding of, they didn't have this understanding. And also, they saw Krishna, but they didn't understand the relationship to Krishna, which is the essence of all knowledge. Because when sambandhagyan, or knowledge of relationship, in other words, when you understand the reality of this world deeply, it'll ultimately manifest into the bhava, or understanding of your relationship with Krishna. So we may cultivate this understanding to understand what is matter, what is spirit, what is the controller of both, but the fruit of that understanding is that you'll understand you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and that you should actually serve the Supreme Lord. So the fruit of relational knowledge, sambandhagyan, is actually understanding your relationship with Krishna. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that sambandhagyan, or real discriminatory knowledge, will lead to sambandhagyan, or knowledge of your relationship with Krishna, which means your feeling of devotion for him. So actually, the wives of the Brahmins, although they look very simple, they've actually have the mature fruit of all discriminatory knowledge, which is to understand that Krishna is God, I'm not this body, I have a relationship with Krishna, and actually to understand and feel that relationship with Krishna. So the cowherd boys, they then went where the Brahmins' wives were staying. And there the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated with fine ornaments. Bowing down to the Brahmin ladies, the boys addressed them in all humility. So Dvija Satim, they were chaste wives. They had that spirit to recognize God's authority and God's authority in the world. These were their husbands. They already knew that they knew how to give their heart to others. Satim, they were already chaste to their husbands, and they addressed them. Namo vo viprapati jo abodita vachamsina ito vidure charita krishne ne eshitavya. The cowherd boy said, obeisances unto you, O wives of the learned Brahmins. Kindly hear our words. We are sent here by Lord Krishna, who's passing by not far from here. Now, contrast this. What happened when the cowherd boys went to the Brahmins and said, Krishna is not far from here? What happens to us when we come in contact with the holy name, with the mercy of Krishna? The wives of the kindly, we have sent him who's passing by not far from here. So the Brahmin's wives, he says this, the cowherd boy says, they're nearby. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows. Now he is hungry. So some food should be given to him and his companions. Yes, Karayan Sagopala, he's in the he's tending the cows. We mentioned before the story of Dainakasura, all the various cows. Sagopala, and he's with the cowherd boys. Saramo, and with Balaram. They're telling him this. Duram, far away. He's not far away. Agata, he has come. Vibhukshitasya, and he's hungry. Tasya, food. Together with his family. You should give food to his companions. Now what happens is, why, when they previously, Krishna told them, don't tell them that I'm hungry. That was Krishna's order to the cowherd boys. Even if Krishna told them, don't tell them that I'm hungry. And already, the business that they were told, their instruction was just to tell the wives of the Brahmins that Krishna has come. Don't tell them they're hungry. So in the previous verse, they already offered obeisances and they said, kindly hear our words. And they said, we've been sent here by Krishna, who's not, is passing not far from here. But then in this verse, they give more details. They say, he's come a long way, and he's also hungry. So it's understood that what actually happened, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, reveals this, is they didn't say, initially, they followed Krishna's instructions and just gave the order to tell that Krishna and Balaram are nearby. But actually, just hearing that, the wives of the Brahmins had so much love, because they were in separation from Krishna, and separation is the symptom of attachment. And then when they heard the excitement that Krishna was so close, he was tending the cows, his representatives were coming, that they fainted. And therefore the coward boys now have to say, give them more detail, because they're in a very emotional state, and they have Krishna's order. He said he's come a long way. He's hungry. Shridva chitam upayatam nityam tad darshano sukha tatkatak shipta manaso bhuvor jata sambhava. The wives of the Brahmins were always eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by descriptions of him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became excited. So this is their state. Right? Their minds had been enchanted because they were constantly hearing these descriptions of Krishna. And due to that descriptions of Krishna, the desire for Krishna, the priti came in their heart. And what is that priti? The desire to please Krishna and the desire to attain Krishna to please him. And now their desire to attain Krishna, all of a sudden, they had no hope. They were the dvijas of him. They were the chaste wives of the Brahmin, who were not devotees. And they were actually on the border of Braj. They had no hope of seeing Krishna, but they were hearing about Krishna, and therefore that priti in their heart, that desire to love Krishna, that desire to attain Krishna, and that bliss and happiness in their heart, they wanted Krishna so much. We may have some desire for something, and when that desire that's perhaps been frustrated for so many years, if satisfied, then we become very, very excited and very, very overwhelmed, but we cannot compare the desire we have for any attraction to the attraction that a prema bhakta has for Krishna. And this is so instructional, because this is our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is our eagerness to see Krishna. That is our bhakti. And that bhakti comes by having our mind enchanted by the beautiful descriptions of Krishna. And now we see the result of it. As soon as the cowherd boys come and say, obeisances, oh, kindly hear, we have been sent here by Krishna, who is not passing by. Oh! Immediately, the sattvika bhav comes, the involuntary, this is one of the components of rasa, one of the five components of rasa, or emotional components that is necessary to bring the love to Krishna, to rasa, to bring rati to rasa. Rati is this bhav for Krishna, but rasa is when the rati is heightened to the highest degree, and it comes to the standard of love that the connoisseur of love, Sri Krishna, can relish. And there are five components of that rasa, emotional components, and you'll see them in the Bhagavatam. And one is sattvika bhav. And what is sattvika bhav? Sattvika bhav is you have so much eagerness and love for Krishna that in association with Krishna, you have involuntary emotional responses which increase that love. And it's described how it happens. You see, Krishna, it's so powerful that the mind becomes agitated. And when the mind becomes agitated, it contacts the life air. And the life air then gravitates to one of the material elements in the body according to the particular emotional feeling. That it can be jubilation, despair, death, whatever the feeling was in relationship to Krishna. It will agitate the mind and the life airs in a particular way that it will gravitate to a particular material element in the body. When it gravitates to the water element, profuse tears come from the eyes. We see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had Radha Bhav. When he finally got initiated in Gaya and became ecstatic, when he would even hear the word Krishna, he would begin crying, and the Ganga of tears from his eyes would pour forth from his eyes. It's not a voluntary thing. While Anubhav, there are voluntary actions that also come out of love that increase our love. For example, we'll see this. When someone will see Krishna and they'll start to sing, but it goes through the intelligence. Let me sing for Krishna. Or they'll dance. Let me dance for Krishna. But these are particularly powerful. So we see that these are prema bhaktis. And just when they are told what Krishna is nearby, their mind becomes agitated, the life air contacts the earth element in their body, and they immediately faint. And therefore, the cowherd boys who were told, don't announce that we're hungry. Now they have to say, wake up, wake up, Krishna is hungry. We have come with some service. And the wives, now look at their bhakti, because they don't want ecstasy. They want the service of Krishna. So what happens to the wives? And when you have bhakti, you curse ecstasy when it impedes service. Your goal is to serve Krishna, not ecstasy. And service to Krishna is ecstasy, so you can't avoid the ecstasy. And that ecstasy you have pleases Krishna, because when you serve Krishna with happiness, it gives him even more pleasure. But the wives began to criticize their minds on hearing that Krishna was hungry. They said, oh, you low mind, although you have heard from your beloved that Krishna is suffering from hunger, why did you not wake up from such fainting? Now we're seeing this rasa is flowing. Krishna loves his devotees. The cowherd boys in love are carrying the order of Krishna. His devotees in separation, who Krishna wanted to please, why did he want to please them? Specifically because they were suffering in separation. They were suffering in separation, and therefore, when Krishna sees the desire of the devotee, then Krishna's desire is to please that devotee. But there's a very interesting thing about prema. So why doesn't Krishna want to please us, and why doesn't Krishna give us prema immediately? Because we don't want it. Krishna has the prema. His devotees have the prema. They want to give us the prema, but they're looking at our heart. As long as we have independent desires, they can't give us the prema. I heard a nice analogy. I was reading in one book a nice analogy. Like a child, the mother has the sweets. But if the child is sick, he can't give the sweets yet. The mother has them. The mother wants to give the sweets. But it's waiting. Waiting. So Krishna, see to come. He wants to please his devotees. And these are the devotees that have no other desire but his service. And now we're seeing the reciprocation. And now, as their love is, because there's this rati, it's coming to rasa. It's coming to this height of relish. And what do? As soon as they hear this calm, this desire of Krishna, in great happiness, they're going to serve that desire of Krishna. And when you do something out of love, and what you do has the maximum beauty. Because when you do something out of affection, the impetus to please creates the most beautiful things to please. And that's why, really, if you look at the churches, when I, you know, in the, when I first saw the churches in Europe, and you have this sense that when one actually has love of God, and make the most beautiful things. Just like if you cook, if you taste the cooking of someone has love, that cooking will come out so nicely. And this is what happens. I'm going to do one more verse because I'm in the morning here and you're in the evening, and I want to keep it regular. But one of the problems with the class is it takes time to warm up. And now I feel that maybe I can say something. But one more verse. Chatur vidham bhu gunam anam madaya bhajanai abhi sashru priyam sarva sumudram eva ibhaga. Taking along in large vessels the four kinds of food, chatur vidha sri bhagavat prasada, full of fine taste and aromas, all the ladies went forth to meet their beloved just as rivers flow towards the sea. Bhakti flows unimpeded. Once bhakti is in the heart, it can't stop, because there is nothing to stop bhakti, because bhakti is causeless. There's no motive for bhakti. So to stop something, you have to stop the cause. You can't stop the cause of bhakti. Any other activity, it's motivated. You're doing that activity for money, let's say. You stop the money, the activity stops. You're doing the money for fame. Stop the glorification, the activity stops. But bhakti is not done any for any other reason than bhakti. Therefore, bhakti, once it, you have bhakti, bhakti cannot stop. Real bhakti will not stop. And therefore, it's always compared to a river which is flowing towards the ocean. No obstacle can stop it. So now they're going forth to please Krishna with four kinds of food, full of fine taste and aromas. Why fine taste and aromas? Because when you love someone, you want to please their senses. And to please their senses, then if you're cooking for them, it should look nicely. It should taste nicely. It should smell nicely. Well, I don't think food can, well, maybe if it's crispy, you could crack it and it could have the right sound. But even we see in Gaur Lila, when Damayanti, the sister of Raghava Pandit, would cook for Lord Chaitanya, it was always described as sugandha, that it would smell nicely, it would look nicely. Why? Because the person who's cooking has love, and love means they want to please your senses. And therefore, they look at ingredients and objects to shape them for your pleasure. So you can not only experience the pleasure of the object, but you can feel the person's love, how fine they've done it. So this is many kinds, but who got many tastes, many, many flavors to please. In all ways, that love is there. So we got some, it's 10:15. I think that's the maximum air that this class can go, because you people work. And this is, of course, this is my morning here. Okay, I will stop now. I'll probably spend a few minutes more. Please, if I ever go over, because sometimes I'm sensing that people want to hear more, I become a little enthusiastic. Please, you're all free just to hang up. So, Panchakalpa, Tarupya, Sanja, Kripa, Sindhu, Vaivacha, Kupatitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo, Namah.